أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله I seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan the accursed I begin in the name of Allah the most gracious the most merciful I bear witness that there's no object worthy of worship no object worthy of obedience no object worthy of being a slave to except Allah the one and only God And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who lived 1,400 years ago, is his servant and his messenger. Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. Very briefly, I have to take you back a little bit. February 26, 1993, First World Trade Center bombing. Muhammad Salameh goes to the right to rent a truck. He rents a truck. He puts down his name, he puts down his address. Muhammad Salameh, it's a week before the bombing, Muhammad Salameh comes back on the day of the bombing to report that the truck has been stolen and I want my refund. The manager says, well, the person says, the manager's not here, come back tomorrow. Muhammad Salameh comes back the next day to get his refund for the truck that was stolen. The FBI are there. The FBI arrests Muhammad Salameh. They notice that Muhammad Salameh puts down his address on the application. They go to his apartment. They found nothing there. They know the mosque that he went to worship at. They went to that mosque. They found nothing there. They notice that Muhammad Salameh put down a telephone number. The telephone number was not his. They investigated it. They found that it was an apartment in Brooklyn in which a person named Josie Hadass lived there. They found that the Josie Hadass was an Israeli citizen with ties to Mossad. Look at the Village Voice, March 8, 1993. The article that says the Village Voice, March 8, 1993. The article says Mossad link to World Trade Center bombing. No one mentions Josie Hadass again. Joe Velliquette, the head of the FBI in New York, is asked by a reporter, is it true that Josie Hadass has ties to Mossad? Joe Velliquette responds, we have no record of Josie Hadass being tied to Mossad, and even if we did, we wouldn't tell you anyway. Let's jump to the O.J. Simpson trial. O.J. Simpson, what does O.J. Simpson have to do with this? O.J. Simpson, while Sheikh Omar Abdulrahman was being railroaded, Ramsey Clark is dealing with this right now. While Sheikh Omar Abdulrahman was being railroaded, everybody's attention was on O.J. Simpson. 1995, Oklahoma City. Without a stitch of evidence at all, who's blamed for it? Muslim terrorists, right? If it looks like a duck, quack like a duck, walks like a duck, it's a duck. If it looks like Middle East terrorism, smells like Middle East terrorism, it's Middle East terrorism without a stitch of information. And that was even worse than the last one that we saw. Why? Because we were presented to the world as baby killers. Remember the picture of the poor 5-year-old girl in the arms of the fireman? That picture went all over the world, and Muslims kill babies. Right? And then, of course, we find out it's militia. 1996, then President Clinton wants to have a first year anniversary of the bombing in Oklahoma City, so he wants to sign the first anti-terrorism bill that many people didn't know about. The first anti-terrorism bill, secret evidence, my man was talking about that earlier, right? That secret evidence that you can arrest somebody based on suspicion of being a terrorist. So if they come to our mosque, the FBI or immigration, they come and sit at our mosque and somebody's giving a talk and a speech, they say, this person might be connected to terrorism. He can be arrested indefinitely and not told what he's being arrested for. We have brothers in jail to this day who've been in jail for at least 3, 4, 5 years under secret evidence. 1996. But guess what else happened in 1996? Flight TWA 800 went down. Who did it? Must have been Muslims. Ted Koppel gets on Nightline, and there's a mysterious letter in Arabic that comes from England, right? Keep in mind, let me take you back a little bit, that while they're discussing the anti-terrorism bill, the Carthage Foundation, a right-wing foundation, makes sure that every member of Congress has a copy of the documentary Jihad in America. Because it was in that particular documentary that it actually came out and said, we need to curb some liberties that these people have, right? Now, TWA goes down. A mysterious letter in Arabic coming from England. Must have been Muslims, Ted Koppel said. Must have been Muslims. They are deliberating over whether or not to pass the anti-terrorism bill of 1996. It is passed. And after it is passed, then information comes out. Oh, mechanical error took down flight TWA 800. Oh, what a coincidence on the timing. Olympics, 1996. A bomb goes off. Who's blamed? Muslim fundamentalists. Who did it? Militia. 1996. Y'all kind of getting this pattern now? 1997. 1997, a plan is found out. Muslims are trying to bomb subways in New York. Well, who are they? Where are they at? Where are they? Right? And then World Trade Center number two. We are of the mainstream. That's why we're honored to be here. You don't hear much of the mainstream of Muslims. See, you associate mainstream with what they put on TV. What we're saying is the mainstream of how Muslims feel. One, we didn't do that in New York. That was not Muslims. And guess what? You should have known that too. As soon as you saw, for example, the press conference of Ariel Sharon, our hearts are with you, and then you're shown Palestinians celebrating, y'all should have knew something was up. Y'all activists, y'all should have knew something was up. You know what I'm saying? You don't show Ariel Sharon. Okay, if you're going to show Ariel Sharon, then you show, in your mind, Yasser Arafat. You think he's the leader, so show Yasser Arafat. Ariel Sharon, my hearts are with you. Yasser Arafat, our hearts are with you too. You're going to show Ariel Sharon, and then you're going to show Palestinians celebrating? If you're going to show Palestinians celebrating, then you have to show also the five Israelis in New Jersey who were arrested for celebrating too. That's balanced reporting, they call that, right? Y'all should have known. Y'all should have known something was up as soon as they said, we have no idea, no suspects of who this was, and then for the next 10, 15 minutes show pictures of Muslims. You should have knew something was up. You should have knew something was up when the so-called experts said, we are ruling out domestic terrorism. We're ruling out. Ruling it out when you don't know who did it, you're ruling out domestic terrorism. When the last two acts of domestic terrorism last two acts of terrorism were homegrown, the Olympics in Oklahoma City, you're saying that you're ruling it out? And you have no suspects? Y'all should have knew something was up. You should have known something was up when they talked about the list of the people who came out, and six of those people on the list are still alive. That the person who's supposed to be flying the second plane into the tower, Abdulrahman al-Omari, is alive and well in Arabia, right? Married, with children. Gives a lawyer and says, hey man, y'all need to check this out. They saying it's me who did this, right? Seriously. Right? Right? So you have to check out Madeline Amy Sweeney, who was complimented for her detail, right? A stewardess, who was complimented for her meticulous detail, who even named the seat numbers that the hijackers were in. And the FBI says, those are not the seat numbers of the Arabs. Well, who was it then? You said she had serious detail. Who was sitting then in those seats? How did 19 Arabs get through two major checkpoints in the airport? Did you pack your bag? Has your bag been with you at all times? Right? Check your license, see if your name matches the ticket. Okay. All right, sir. Have a nice flight. Right? That type of thing, right? Then you go sit down on the plane, and then the stewardess go, 1, 2, 3, 4, to match their official list. 19 Arabs were able to do that day. Come on. Come on. No official list has an Arab name on it. No official list of every one of those flights has an Arab name on it. Y'all should have known something was up. Y'all should have known something was up when Time Magazine came out with a statement saying the next step, biological terrorism. Because you know what we said? We said, oh, Lord, this is the next thing they're going to frame us on. Biological terrorism, seriously. And what happened? Anthrax. And when the FBI said, we have no evidence that this is connected to September 11th at all, your vice president came out and said, we think it's connected. So now Muslims spread germs. That type of thing, right? And then death to Israel, death to America, Allah is great, and so on and so forth. The anthrax, there was an attempt to blame that on us too. Why? Let me wrap this up. Why? You have to understand the nature of the conflict. You must understand the nature of the conflict that is taking place in the world today. The statement, there is no God except the one and only God, sounds to you like it's a very spiritual statement. It is, but it's very revolutionary too. Why is it revolutionary? Because the definition of worship in Islam, ibadah, the definition of worship means slavery, servitude, that we should be a slave to God. We should be in service to God. We are taught as Muslims that we're not allowed to be a slave to anyone else except God. That means imperialists are in trouble. Because in the nature of the oppressor and the oppressed, oppressed people must worship the oppressor. They must serve them. They must be their slaves. They look at the oppressor as their role model. What you are seeing all over the world today are Muslims who are rising up against imperialism. And what these fools did in New York is being lumped together with Muslims who are fighting against imperialism all over the world, and therefore it becomes a justification to wipe them out. But we are optimistic. We are optimistic because we are taught arrogance precedes the fall. There's no way in the world that the Taliban and the people in Afghanistan, Osama bin Laden had nothing to do with that. Look, do a psychological profile of him. If he did it, he would have said, oh, I definitely did it. And I'm going to do it some more, too. You know what I'm saying? That's the nature of terrorism. When you do an act, you don't do it and say, it wasn't me. Uh-uh. That's not what terrorism is. When you do it, you say, you doggone right, it was me. That's right. It was definitely me. That's the nature of terrorism, right? When he says he did not do it, and he said, you need to look within your intelligence, internal in your intelligence in the United States as to the perpetrators who did it. We as Muslims, just like in the black community, this war on drugs is nothing but a war on black people. Criminalizing an entire generation of warriors is going to backfire on them. But keep in mind, though, what was told to David Ben-Gurion, the first president of the Zionist-occupied Israel. They said to him, David Ben-Gurion, the first president of the Zionist state of Israel, the apartheid state. They said to him, what will happen when the Palestinians find out that we stole their land? He said, the old people will die off and the young ones will forget. So for that generation, there's a history that they have to be brought up to, a history that they have to be made aware of. We are very optimistic. That's what faith is about. Because no matter how much they do to the Palestinian people, they haven't been broken. F-16s, jets, fighter helicopters, and the spirit of the people have not been broken at all. At all. So when you see what is happening, brothers and sisters, when you see what is happening around the world, it's important that you understand that. That you have a group of people in this world. And it may not be what you're accustomed to seeing. The struggle didn't begin or end in the 60s. It continues. But there are certain things that we will see today that we may not be accustomed to seeing. And that's understandable. There's going to be some major differences with respect to now and the 60s. Right? But one of the things that you will see, and one of the things that you are seeing, not only on the outside, but also on the inside, is that you have a situation where Muslims in Africa and Asia are saying, we want to be Muslim. We cannot be your slave. We're a slave only to God. So therefore, to be your slave means that we are worshiping a false God. And that's the worst sin that we could commit. That's where it's coming from. Right? There is even a verse in the Quran that deals in imperialism. Did you know that? There's a verse in the Holy Quran. I'll end with this. I really will. Check out this verse. I'm not going to do the whole thing. There's four words I want you to keep in mind. It deals with imperialism. Real quick here.
Liberty and justice for all.
Check this out. Check this out. Check this out. Kings, truly kings, when they enter a town, kings, imperial, yes. Kings, when they enter a town, they destroy the land. Check out the word. In Arabic, the word is afsadu. But Arabic is a language where you take one Arabic word, you need about 20 English words to really break it down. Check out the word that's being used in the Quran, what kings do when they come into a land. The translation, demoralize, destroy, weaken, corrupt, ruin, degrade, decay, become rotten, stir up dissension, to act evil and wicked. Kings, when they come into the land, they come into a land or a country, they do that to the land. And then they make the people Izza. There's a certain people who they try to conquer. Who are these people? We are taught that they're the people with Izza. What does Izza mean? Self-respect, self-esteem, a sense of honor. So Allah says in the Quran, when these imperialists come into a country, the first people who they try to what? They try to break. They're the who are despised, who are debased, who must be subdued, who must be conquered, who must be broken, are the people with a sense of honor. These people with a sense of honor will tell these people, you are not coming to our country to take over our country. We have a sense of dignity and self-respect. Those are the people who must be broken down. And that once they are broken down and subdued, once they are conquered, then they put poop butts in power. And it is these people who are being challenged all over the world today. These puppets and these stooges that America has put in these countries are being challenged today. And America knows that. I'm sorry it took so long. Assalamu alaikum.